Whatever you think is better.
Okay. Chodesh Tov. It's a big privilege for me to be able to introduce my uncle, who when he's here tries to make time from his busy schedule to speak here in the yeshiva. My uncle Steve Savitsky is currently the chairman of the board of the OU. He was, for the last 6 years, till this past year, he was the president of the OU. Hails from Hewlett, New York. But those of you from the five towns, one of the five towns. He is also partners in Torah. What's your position there?
Chairman of the board.
Partners in Torah, which is a very interesting organization that partners people who are interested in learning with people who are not yet interested in learning, and they partner them with chavrusas over the phone, over Skype, and has been involved in many, many different Jewish organizational life for the last number of years, as long as I know him, and is a tremendous role model for me, and I think for you, for the guys who were here last year, heard him speak, it's one of the more memorable speeches that they heard last year, I know some guys even till this day come over to, oh, the Khan Sipur, that was a Khan Sipur moment. I've had a few of those since he spoke, and now he's here to share on a different topic, and without further ado.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, good evening everybody, and it's always great to be back in Torah Chraga, one of my favorite schools. Not because my nephew was involved, just because I think it's a great place. And every place I go, I always meet the Talmidim from Torah Chraga, and they're certainly a walking, living example of what B'nai Torah should be. And without question, let me just tell you that, you know, as I get more involved in Jewish life and get more involved in dealing with people, I've come to realize that the only sustainable model for continuity of Jewish life is Limud HaTorah. Without Limud HaTorah, you don't go anyplace. And we meet wonderful people when we travel. My wife and I, we're here now because we came with an organization called the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. I don't know if anyone ever heard of that. But there are no minor Jewish organizations. There are only major Jewish organizations. And what we do is we go. We were in the Netherlands. We were in The Hague, meeting with NATO. This week, spent time meeting with people in Eretz Yisrael. Had a chance to go Chutz La'aretz yesterday, to go to Jordan to meet with the king, and today to meet with people in the foreign ministry. And we meet and we travel with wonderful Jewish people, heads of the Jewish community. But unfortunately, for many of them, they don't understand the concept of Torah, they don't understand the concept of Limud Torah, and that's why when they look and they wonder what happens to their children and the next generation, they wonder why is it that our kids are assimilating and they're getting into the regular world. And I always tell them that, you know, I always think about the fact that when you look at the Avos and you say that, you know, we just finished reading about the whole story with Mitzrayim, Shivim Nefesh, 70 people came. So the question I always ask myself is, if you remember, Avraham Avinu and Sarah were busy. They were the first kiruv workers in the whole world, right? Avram would work with the men, Sarah with the women, thousands of people. So what happened? What happened after a few generations? Why were they gone? Why was it that when they finally went down to Mitzrayim, all they had were 70 people? And so what I think is, Avraham is the person who represents chesed, right? Eshel, right? Achilu, Shtilu, Lina. And that's Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam means trying to help the world. All my friends at all these conferences, they're always looking to help the world. Tikkun Olam. We build hospitals, we do a million things for Tikkun Olam. Yitzchak is Avoda, he builds shuls. If you go around and you travel, you see the nicest shuls are usually not our shuls. We have little shuls, little shtiblach, we try to build another place, we can't get parking. You go to the conservative shuls and Reform, they have these gigantic buildings with parking lots that are unbelievable. No people, but the most beautiful buildings you've ever seen in your entire life. And they're avoda. Yaakov is Torah. Yaakov is Torah. And the point is that when you're ready to look about the continuity of Jewish people, the only thing that's left is Torah. That's what sustains the Jewish people. So believe it or not, many of these people don't understand it. And these are the leaders of the Jewish world, the absolute leaders of the Jewish world. There was a man in this group who asked me one day, what do we do at the OU? So I told him about all the million things that we do in CSY. We have Yachad, we have programs in Washington, programs in Israel. I told him everything that we do. And then, as a joke, at the end, I said, and we also have a little division. It deals with kashrus. So he looks at me and he says to me, what's that? I said, you don't know? I was sitting in a restaurant with him. I took out a Sweet and Low and I had a little OU on the bottom. And I said to him, have you ever seen this? He said, no, I don't know what it is. And this is one of the leaders of the Jewish community. I tell you that because I come to yeshiva and to me it's always great. You know, one of the things that I learned, a lesson that I learned, which then is really the theme of what I want to talk about for a few minutes and then I'll answer questions. I learned it from a 12-year-old boy. A 12-year-old boy in Los Angeles. Anyone here from Los Angeles, California? There you go, right here. It wasn't you. Okay. I learned it from a 12-year-old boy in Los Angeles, California. One day, I'm driving my car in Los Angeles. It's a hot summer day. I'm going down La Brea Avenue. Okay? Is that where you live? No. Okay. I'm going down La Brea Avenue, driving fast. It's a hot day, and all of a sudden I see, on the side, I see these two boys. Sits us out. Nice kippah. Pair of shorts with the top. They're selling lemonade. Selling lemonade. I said, I just kept driving and I said, you know what? This is crazy. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business person. That's what I do all my life when I don't work in for the Jewish community. I said, how could I neglect to do this? Because, you know, my kids still think, and my good friend there is Mr. Wroblowski's here. You know, that's Rabbi Wroblowski's father. He was one of the best. He went to school with me in BTA. Do you know all the guys know Mr. Wroblowski? He was the valedictorian in... were you the valedictorian? Oh, I'm sorry. I was someone else. I was thinking about somebody else. Yeah, right. See, the school that we went to, actually, the school that Mr. Wroblowski and I went to, it was, I would say, if you want to describe it, it was like a reform school for Orthodox Jewish boys. That's what it basically was. And surprisingly, most of the guys actually made it out of there, and most of them were successful. But anyway, so I'm driving... And my kids still think that it took me like 4 hours to get to school. I would work through the snow. I say, you know what? I have to go back. So I go back. I make a U-turn. I come back. I'm going down the street. And these two boys are selling lemonade. I pull over. I have a baseball cap on. I walk over. And as I'm walking over, I see lemonade, $1 for a cup. Okay, Los Angeles, prices are pretty high. I figure, okay, you know, what is it? Maybe you get a little cherry on top, something. As I keep walking closer and closer, all of a sudden, I see it says lemonade, $1. And then underneath is a big OU. OU. I said, wow, this is really unbelievable. You know, we have a whole department at the OU. We go after all those people who put on illegal, you know, this could be big money for us. We could really be suing, like suing McDonald's, something like that. So I go over. I say to him, gee, this is really nice. Lemonade, $1. I said, it's okay with me. What's this little thing, this O and a U underneath? What does this mean? He says, oh, that means that it's kosher. I said, hey, look, let me tell you something. Okay. I said, I come from New York. In New York, we don't trust anybody. So just because you have something that has an O and a U, I mean, do you really think this is kosher? And this 12-year-old kid, he kind of looks me right in the eye. He says, sir, he says, I don't know who you are. He says, I don't know who you are. But I want to tell you one thing. He says, if you can't trust the OU, who can you trust? Okay, it's true. This kid became the vice president of our region, chairman of the board, and so on. But he taught me... but he taught me a lesson, because you see... He told me a word. He told me a word that nobody ever uses anymore. The word is trust. Who can you trust? Because you see, we live in a world where no one trusts anybody anymore. People don't trust the political leaders, they don't trust the government, they don't trust anybody. People invested money, millions and millions of dollars, they lost the money, they invested money in the banks, they lost money. People don't trust anyone anymore. And that's what's going on. So I said to myself, you know, that word, how do we restore that word back to the Jewish people? And I've spoken in a lot of places, and I know that sometimes I was on a cruise, one of these cruises where they let you be a guest speaker on a cruise. It's great because, you know, sometimes the ship is like going this and this a little bit. So, you know, if you speak when the ship is moving that way, you can kind of cut the ship, you know, the speech short. It doesn't make a difference. People are just happy to go back to the room, do whatever they have to do. You know, if they're throwing up, it's not because you're speaking, it's because something is going on. But I asked the people at the cruise, I said to them, let me ask you a question. I said, do you think that non-Jews are less honest, dishonest, more than Jews? Or do you think it's the same? Most of the people said, well, I think it's the same. And I said, do you think that Orthodox Jews are more honest than Jews who are not Orthodox? How many people do you think raised their hand? How many people do you think said, well, I think Orthodox Jews are much more honest and ethical than people who are not secular Jews, who don't have the world that we have, or don't have the Torah, don't have everything else? How many people do you think actually raised their hand? One or two people. One or two people. They said they think Orthodox Jews are more honest. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't been out in the world. But I'm not going to ask my good friend Mr. Roblowski what he thinks, but I can tell you, I know what I think. I don't think Orthodox Jews are any more honest than Jews who are not. And I'm a business person. I've been in business all my life. So what's wrong with us? What happened to us? Am HaNivchar, the chosen people, the people of the Torah, the people that have a Mishnah Berurah and a Choshen Mishpat and a Shulchan Aruch. What's happened to us that when you ask a group of people and you say, who's more honest? Someone who's a frum Jew or someone who's a secular Jew? And they don't say, without question, it's a frum Jew. What happened? We've lost our way. We've lost our derech. We've lost our understanding that that's an important part of what life's all about. You know, when the Torah tells us, when Hashem gave us the Torah on Har Sinai, and it says, B'dibur echad, he did it in one breath. And there are many explanations of why he did it in one breath. The Rav says, you know why? Because you had to do it in one breath, because the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was the same Hashem that said, Lo Signof, in one breath. It wasn't one and one. It was one breath. It was the same thing. If you're interested in being a frum Jew, if you're interested and you believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then you have to believe in Lo Signof. There's no steerer between the two. They go hand in hand. They're not different. One is not different with the other. They're exactly the same, and that's exactly what it is. You can't have a relationship, and you can't have a situation where you say, well, I'm in the Beis Medrash, I act one way, and when I go outside, I act another way. If I'm a business person, I could act one way in my business life. When I go out into the community, I could act a different way. It's one and the same. There's absolutely no difference. There's absolutely no difference at all. And probably, I think, the job... And you know what? The reason I wanted to speak about it here, and I want to be honest with you. The reason I wanted to just talk about this here, a little bit about honesty, ethics, Kiddush Hashem, is because I don't know anymore whether my generation could do anything about it. Maybe the next generation could be. But I think we've lost it. And so it's going to be up to you guys to restore this concept of trust back into the Jewish world. You know, I never like it when people ask me to speak to young people, because I think so many times people lay guilt trips on young people. You're the future, and without you, we're not going to have a people. And a poor 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid is sitting there going, oh my God, what do they want from me? Like, and I never liked it when I was young. And I don't think it's fair. But I do think that you should understand that we, in my generation, we've lost that. Somehow we've lost this ability to make people look at us and say, wow, there goes a frum Jew. Isn't that unbelievable? This person is a frum Jew, and because of that, when I shake his hand and he tells me something, that is, I could take it to the bank. I don't need a million pieces of paper. All I need is a person's word. And that's really what the Torah is about. That's what the idea is of B'dibur Echad. Lo Signof Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You know, and it happens that I just had a situation where I had a car. My car was stolen. Okay, it's true. I know my nephew stole it, but who am I? Why should I say anything, okay? I mean, how should I report him? My car was stolen. It's funny because it happens to be at Yeshiva University. I was at a weekend, a Torah retreat at Yeshiva University in New Jersey. Left my car over, parked in the parking lot in a hotel. I came down in the morning. It was gone on Sunday morning. Okay, so my car was stolen. Okay. Richard Joel now has my car. It's a Lexus, by the way, if you ever see it. I saw him. He said to me, did you ever get your car back? I said, you know, I didn't, but I told the police that if they see someone driving a car, a blue Lexus, that has YU1 license plates, arrest the guy right away. But in my car, in my trunk of my car, I had my Talis and Tefillin. So I had to buy a new pair of Talis and Tefillin. So I went to the Sofer, and I went to a really, really wonderful person. And I decided, you know what? I really want to buy, I want to be Mahuda, Zekei Levi on Veya. We always talk about this, a nice mezuzah, and a nice Tefillin, and a nice Lulu. I wanted to buy the best Tefillin. And so he showed me Ksav, five different ways. I picked the one that I wanted. It was from someone in Eretz Yisrael. He was busy. I said, I'll wait a few weeks. I want the nicest Ritsuas. I wanted everything, the nicest Batim. I wanted it to be really Mahuda. I come to buy the pair of Tefillin. So I said, okay, how much is it? Do you want to pay tax or don't you? I said, what did you say? He said, do you want to pay tax? Because if you want to pay tax, it's a little bit more. If you don't want to pay tax, you could pay less. I said, you know what? Listen, I don't understand this. I just went out of my way to pick the nicest pair of tefillin I could find. I went for the best ksav yad. I said, I'm going to wear this, God willing, for who knows how long. I'm going to be putting it on every day. I'm going to be talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, you think I could live with the fact that I cheated the government out of the tax? I said, how could you even ask the question? How could you even ask me that question, whether I want to pay tax or not? Of course I want to pay the tax. Are you Jewish, he said? Oh yeah, okay. No, I said, of course I want to. I mean, could you picture, seriously, could you picture yourself buying this pair of tefillin and not paying tax and cheating the government? How would you feel every single day when you're putting on that tefillin and you're trying to think about, this is my kesha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of this I'm special, and you didn't pay tax? What's going on in our society? How could a person even ask that question? Why is that? You see, because when you wear a kippah, when you wear a yarmulke, you have an obligation not just to be honest and ethical, but you also have an obligation to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, everything you do. And it's not just by being in the Beis Medrash. Your obligation and my obligation is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim when we talk, when we run, when we play basketball, when we jog, when we go on the bus. That's our responsibility. And you know what? I don't want you to use the word responsibility, because it's not a responsibility. It's really an honor. I mean, you know, go to speak to the people in the army. You're in Israel now. So you see, you walk around Ben Yehuda, you walk around all other kind of places. You see people wearing uniforms. How do they feel about those uniforms? I'm Sanchanim, I'm this, I'm that. Ask them how they feel about their uniform. They feel proud about that uniform. Well, you have a uniform also, okay? Whether you like it or not, you have a uniform. And when you have a uniform, you could do great things. You know something? I decided a long time ago, because I travel a lot, I decided that every single time I go on a plane, I'm not getting off the plane until I do 10 Kiddush Hashems. You think it's hard? Easy. Why? Because when people are traveling on a plane, you know how it is today? No one likes to check their luggage anymore, right? Because it could get lost. So you could take your carry-on. And it has to be a certain size, but it doesn't tell you it has to be a certain weight. And so you could have a carry-on that weighs about 400 pounds, and nobody stops you. It's fine. It's great. So you see a little old lady, and she's trying to get this thing up on the, you know, obviously she's trying, it's like she has to be like Hercules to just kind of lift it and put it up on the thing. All right, I look for this. My wife knows. Before I sit down, I'm always looking. First of all, before I even get on the line, there's always some woman with a little kid who needs some help. There's always somebody who wants to go in front. There's always somebody who needs some help putting something on top. It's unbelievable. And every single time, it never fails. Every single time I go on the plane, at least 10 times, I'm a Kaddishem Shemayim. And I know what it is. There's somebody there, and all of a sudden I say to them, oh, can I help you with the overhead? Could I just put it on? Oh, yeah, thank you very much. And then they see the kippah. Oh, thank you very much. And I know they're thinking, Jew, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's really nice of you. You know, I didn't know Jewish people were so nice. Is that really what it is? It's unbelievable. And so anything you do in every aspect of your life, it doesn't make a difference. You could be Makadah Shem Shemayim. And you know, that's what the Torah really wants out of you. The Torah wants you to be that kind of a person. The Torah tells you, Laman Yitav Lach. Because you know what? You could fool yourself sometimes, but the Torah tells you, you know what? Asisa HaTova HaYashar. You have to do what's right, and you have to do what's right, and you have to do what's honest and what's ethical. You know, in the Parshas Ki Tzeitzeh, when the Torah talks to you about being honest, and they talk about an Evan Shlema, how you have to have an honest weight and honest measures. The Torah, you know how the Torah describes the people who don't do it? Anybody know the word the Torah uses for the people who don't do that? It's called a to'eva. You know, today that's a big word. Everybody uses it because everyone, when they talk about the gay rights and so on and so forth, they talk about that's how bad it is, an abomination. The Torah told you how bad it was. The Torah talks about the same way with someone who's not honest, someone who's not ethical. And you know, that's what it's all about. So when people see you, they say, oh, there goes an Orthodox Jew. There goes a firm person. To be Makadosh Shem Shemayim. I want to tell you something that happened to me. You see, my business, I'm in the healthcare business. I had a lot of offices throughout the whole United States. And I would travel. And my mother always told me, she's a smart lady. Mr. Roblowski knows her, Baruch Hashem. She's 94 years old. She's a great lady. And she said to me, listen, if you have offices throughout the United States, be a smart boy. When it's in the middle of the winter, go to Fort Lauderdale office. In the middle of the summer, you go to your Minneapolis office. You don't have to go to Minneapolis in the winter. Okay, so I go to Minneapolis. It's the summer. I'm at the airport. I'm waiting for the plane. And the next thing you know, they have a terrible thunderstorm. And all of a sudden, you notice, cancel, 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 cancel. All the flights are canceled. People are going crazy. You know what happens. I mean, if you've traveled, if you're in the airport, you know what it's like with people. They're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. The most sophisticated, nice people, wonderful people, something happens, it's absolutely amazing. So what happens? All of a sudden, a sign goes up. There'll be one flight to Newark. This flight was supposed to go to Kennedy Airport. There's a flight to Newark. And if you want to get on, as long as you only have carry-on, you can get on the flight. It was like a stampede. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Sophisticated people, ready now, they are, it's like the bullfights. It's like, it's unbelievable what they're going on. I see in the corner, it's a Hasidic Shiyid. And I see he's getting ready, you know, like the feet, like he's, you know, getting ready. He's getting ready to go because there, you know, and I go over to him. I say, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Yid. How'd you know I was Jewish? I said, all right. I tell you, I figured it out. I don't know. I just somehow I'm looking at you. I don't know what it is. I couldn't figure it out. Either Amish or Jewish. I don't know. So I said, listen. I said, you know, what's your name? Moshe, Baruch Hashem, how are you? I said, what's going on? I said, where do you live? He lives in Borough Park. Great. So I said, he says, I got to get on this plane. I must get on this plane. I got so many things to do. I said, look. I said, Moshe, you and I have a special situation. We're part of Mamlechas Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. We're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special army. I said, we have to act a certain way because people look at us. We're different. I said, now look, I could take this kippah off. I could put it in my pocket. I think I could fit into the crowd. Unless you get a shave and a haircut like in the next 3-4 minutes. I said, and really find something to do with that big black coat of yours. I said, I think you're in problem. You have trouble. You have a problem, okay? He says, but I got to go. Moshe, I said, listen, we're going to get a seat on the plane. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It's not a problem. I said, we are going to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim right now. I said, come on. So I said, I want you to walk. We're walking, you and I, together. We walk. Everyone else is running and this and that. We're walking. We get to the line, come to the ticket counter. I said, might you have any seats left? We have two seats left. Wonderful. Middle seats. Moshe was a pretty big guy, you know, like, I said, Moshe and I love middle seats. Moshe loves, he flies El Al, he flies middle seats, because he just loves to go on middle seats. I told you if we would have run, I said, Moshe, don't worry about it. Remember who you are. We get on the plane lands, and they have an announcement that there's going to be a van taking you to Kennedy Airport, okay, if you want, if you had your car there, whatever it is. And right away, you know, I had my car, I really wanted to get it, so I start running, like, you know, to get my car. All of a sudden, I see someone put his arm around me, he says, Shmuel Yosef, he says. Remember, he says, walk slowly, don't worry about anything. I learned my lesson. I understood what it is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And I understood what it is to be honest and ethical. And so, you know, so many times in the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Dover Emes Bilvovo. You're supposed to be honest in your heart. What does it mean to be honest in your heart? You know what it means? And you know and I know. And tell me, if someone here tells me this is not true, please let me know. A lot of times you say things, and you know in your heart you're lying. And you know it yourself. You said it, but you know it's not true. Dover emes bilvavo means that in your heart, you have to, even in your heart, you have to know what the emes is. The Meiri looks at this, and you know what he says? And I'm saying I ever could do this in my life. But this is what the Meiri says. If you have a business transaction, and you know that you're selling this thing for $100, and the person says to you, I'm going to give you $200, you take it. The Miri says, no, Bilvovo, you already agreed you're going to take the 100. That's the level you should be at. You know what the Torah tells us? Beficha bilvavcha. You say it with your mouth and with your heart. That's not true. You say it first with your heart, then your mouth. What is the Torah talking about? The Torah is telling you that they have to be in sync. Your heart and your mouth have to be in sync. So many times you know what's right. When you know what's right, say it. When you know what's right, do it. Just do that and then you'll be fine. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked a question once about boys who cheat in high school. And he said, it's not only Geneva's Das, it's also Gesundheit. It's also even the employers. If you then eventually get a job, it's not right for the employers because they hired you thinking you were smart and you weren't. That's how far he goes. You know, I could go on and on, but the point I wanted to bring out tonight is that we're a special people. You and I, we're special. We have the Torah. We have our mitzvahs. Don't let what you learn here. I have a great Rebbe of mine, Dov Spiegel, who I learned Daf Yomi with, and he always used to tell me the same thing. He says, Shmuel Yosef, he says, it's not a question of how many times you've gone through Shas. It's a question of how many times has Shas gone through you. That's the point. Does Shas go through you? Does the Chumash go through you? Does the Navi go through you? Does the Shulchan Aruch go through you? Do you take it? Do you assimilate it in your life? And if you do that, you understand not only are you doing something which is incredible for yourself, but for the Klal Yisrael. You know, someone told me, and I know this is true, this is a man told me he's head of a dental school, a big university dental school. He's a Frum Yud, a Frum Jew. He worked very hard to make sure that Orthodox kids could get into that dental school. And he found out that they were cheating. And the dean, not only did they ask those kids to leave, but no other Frum kids ever got in again. So do you think when you do something, it has an effect on somebody else? Yes, it does. If you do something right, it has an effect on other people. If you do something wrong, it has an effect on other people. And so you're part of the general destiny of the Jewish people. That's what it's really all about. And so I am not telling you this is a responsibility. What I'm telling you is it's a joy. It's a joy to be a Jew, to be a Frum Jew, and to walk around and know that we have something that nobody else has. We have something that nobody else has in the whole world. And it's so beautiful, it's so majestic. The Torah is so beautiful that if you just take it, make it a part of your life, be honest in everything you do, you're going to accomplish great things. And you are the future. You're the hope. You know, you're the hope for us. That when in the future people say, could I trust somebody? Getting back to that word of trust, you are indeed. Say, the answer is yes. And when people look at you, they say, not only do I admire the Jewish people, but I want to be that like them also. How many people, you're role models. You could be role models. Don't look at it as a responsibility. Look at it as a privilege. And that's what it really is. So that's my message. It's a simple message, but it's a message for somebody who's been around the block, who's traveled around the world, who's met a lot of people, and I think has tried in everything I do to have people say, you know what, there's something special about a from Jew. There's something special about a Torah Jew. It's not that they're asking every day to get off early because they have to leave early on Friday and they have to eat kosher and they have to do this. There's something about them, the way they speak. B'ficha b'vavcha. Try to listen to your heart. Your heart's going to tell you what's right. And if you listen to your heart, then you know what? Dover emes b'vavo. You'll be a better person, you'll be a better Jew, and you'll be the future of the Klal Yisrael. Now I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody may have. I know you got a big party tonight and so on and so forth, so I don't want to... Yes?
Do you think that the Jewish bubble, per se, is a direct correlation to the fact that maybe we're not being as trustful?
A Jewish what?
I'll just try to say it in different words.
Okay.
I think that a lot of Jewish schools and a lot of the way that education system works is that we're very enclosed in our own Jewish bubble. We have our Jewish communities and we have our Jewish things, and we don't get out to the rest of the world, which A, doesn't give us chesed opportunities, and B, doesn't let us see how different we are.
Well, you know what? I mean, first of all, look, everybody has chesed opportunities because you're living in the world whether you like it or not. I mean, you're traveling, you're going somewhere. I mean, you're going to school, you're on a bus, you're on whatever you do. I mean, you're walking in the street, you're shopping someplace, you're going to a ball game. I mean, you know, everything about you. And I think that, you know, it's not just a question of doing chesed. It's not a question of being chesed. It's doing what you think it would be right, you know, for yourself. And if you do what you think is right for yourself and you follow the Torah commandments, look, you know, sometimes people, the problem is that sometimes people think if I'm not perfect, it's not good for me, you know? Ain't tzaddik, all right, so there's no such thing as a perfect person. All of us are not, I mean, when you talk about honesty, I mean, look, there are plenty of people, I mean, who, it's impossible to be totally, totally honest. I think totally honest. You know what I mean by totally honest? I mean, if somebody has somebody working in their house and they have somebody cleaning the house and they're paying that person in cash, well, they really should be paying them, giving them, you know, the taxes and doing everything else and so on. But the person wants it and whatever it is. All these kind of things happen. It doesn't mean you're not an honest person. It means that people, we have certain degrees. I mean, you know, we're constantly striving to do better and better. I think, you know, I don't think we don't live in a bubble. There are other people who may live in a bubble. I don't think our world lives in a bubble. I think we live in a world where we integrate ourselves into society, and society looks at us to see how we act and what we do. And as I say, it's not always a question of money; it's a question of sometimes manners. I was on a plane one time, and it was a Hasidish person, and a person came over to him and said, which happens sometimes on a plane, "But excuse me, I have 10A. Oh, I have 10A. They both have the same seat." He should have heard this guy. It was unbelievable. Oh, I'm not getting out of my seat. This is where I already sat. I put my coat here. This and that. Talking about? That's the way to talk? I mean, it wasn't, you're not talking for yourself. Also, you know, you're a representative. And you never know how the effect is going to be on other people. You never know. But it's a positive thing. So, someone had a question over here. Yeah?
Obviously, like, we all need to change and everyone needs to become more trustworthy, but how are we supposed to be trusting of other people in a world where, like, trust has just been thrown out the window?
I think the first thing is people should trust you. In other words, don't worry about trusting someone else yet. Why don't you make sure that when people talk about you, they know they can trust you? Whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, in a business thing, whether it's in a, you know, and how people act also. I know that when the Torah tells you there are three ways to know a person. Three ways to know a person? Okay, right. Kiso, koso, kaso, right? All kind of, right? That's how you know a person. You know how they really are. So a friend of mine once told me something else. Now there's another one also. Bikaduro, he told me. Play ball with a guy, okay? Mr. Wroblowski, I know. We used to play ball together, okay? Play ball with somebody. You want to find out about somebody? Play ball with somebody, okay? I have played ball. I know there's a Rebbe over here. His father-in-law and I play tennis all the time together, okay? I mean, you watch the way someone plays basketball. Watch the way sometimes the way they play baseball or tennis or something. It's amazing. They cheat, they throw their racket, who knows what they don't know. But no, they're off the court, they're totally different. I don't buy that. No, you know what? That's the way they really are. That's the way they really are. You can't separate these things out, okay? So trust begins with you. Have people look at you and say, listen, you can look around this room And there are certain people in this room that you trust, right? And there are other people in this room you probably don't trust. Why is that? So you get to be the point where you're one of those people that people trust. And they come to you, and they ask for advice, and they ask for guidance, and they ask for help. And whatever they ask for, they come to you, and you're the person they look up to. And when they look up to you, then you know what? Eventually, more and more people will do it. We'll have more of a trustworthy world. But the first thing is, take care of yourself. That's the most important. You become one of those people that people want to trust. That's all that counts. And it happens also. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but would you say that there's a source for the reason why the Jewish generation has been acting so in such a dishonest manner?
You know what? I mean, some of it is cultural. From all the years that people lived in Europe and couldn't trust the government and they had to, they had to do what they had to do. And those are circumstances. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but there was a different world. We don't live in the same world anymore. We live in a different world. People live in America. It's a Medina Shel Chesed. I mean, has there ever been a place that treated Jews better than that? You live in Eretz Yisrael? Certainly. You still have a government in Eretz Yisrael. An unbelievable government. So, you know, I think over the years, maybe culturally it happened, but now it's time for people to change and to look at it. You know, we have to look at ourselves and say, what could we do to become the Am HaNivchar that God wanted us to be? That's the point. Where are the Am HaNivchar? Then how do we become that Am HaNivchar? We could do it. Anybody else? Okay, well listen, you guys are the best. You really are. And enjoy Adar. Purim, have a great time. And just remember, when you go out in the street, people look at you. People, you're role models for other people. Oh, you have a question. I'm sorry.
Yes. Go ahead. In the world we live in, there are generalizations and stereotypes. You mentioned the dental school that doesn't accept unorthodox Jews.
Who does it?
How does one break a stereotype?
The what? A stereotype of what?
Of trustworthiness, of Jews being liars. You break a stereotype, really.
You know what? I say you do it one person at a time. I mean, we did a survey once at the OU, and we went to three cities. Went to San Francisco, Moscow, and Toronto. Stop people on the street just to ask them, regular people. Excuse me, sir, do you know anything about Jews? Oh, yeah, I know about Jews. What do you know about them? They're rich, very rich, very rich, unbelievable. Could you trust them? They're not that honest, you know. How many are there? I don't know. Well, okay, there are 7 billion people in the world. How many Jews do you think there are? A billion? That's all? Only a billion? Oh, really? No, I'm just saying, so, you know, there is a stereotype. There is a stereotype, you know? You know, like, listen, you know you're in trouble when there's an expression. What do people, you ever hear people say, don't Jew me? There's an expression in life, okay? Stop Jewing me. What does that mean? That means, you know, you ask him for a dollar and he says $1.50 and you say $1.25 and this and that, and you know, you shake his hand, you never know what's going to happen. Listen, it's a problem. It's a problem when people use that as an expression, don't Jew me. So you know what, how do we break it? You break it by being the right kind of person. And if we keep doing it, if people keep talking about it, and it becomes important. You know, I'm on a committee, a special committee, that was formed by an individual person to see what we can do about this, about ethics and morality. And I was with somebody in this committee. It's an ad hoc committee. This person is one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Lakewood, New Jersey. You know what he told me? He told me that there was a survey that was done in a newspaper. And they put out all the hospitals, and they list which hospitals have the most unwed mothers in the state of New Jersey. Where do you think it was?
Lakewood,
New Jersey. Lakewood, New Jersey, the most unwed mothers in the whole state of New Jersey. How's that possible? You know why? Because many of them were not getting married. Because if you get married, all of a sudden now, you know, you lose some of your benefits. So you don't get married. You get married, you have a chuppah and kedushin, but you don't have a civil marriage. And you know what? The Rosh Yeshiva himself told me it's embarrassing. Some of these people walk into the hospital and, you know, the nurse says, who's the husband? What kind of business is this? He himself told me. He said he has to break it. He has to stop it. This is what happens, okay? So we can't allow this. We can't allow the Torah, which is so beautiful and so kadosh, to be minimized by us taking advantage of any kind of a loophole we can think of. I have Mara Makomas, and I have Shilas and Chuvas, and I have other things that will tell you about it, but I tell you the truth. It's a problem, and it's something we have to deal with. And do it a little bit at a time. I'm saying overnight. You don't have to do something overnight, but the stereotype will be broken by people knowing you. That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
Yeah. How does one or yourself maintain being trustworthy when you're so involved in the business world, which is... doesn't seem like a trustworthy environment.
Seems like a stira, being in the business world and being trustworthy, right? If you stay in the best medrash, you can be trustworthy when you go out into the business world. You know what? It's really pretty easy. Why don't you just say to yourself, you know what? First of all, if I give someone my word, it's going to be my word. If I said something to somebody, I'm going to follow it. And if I have to err and I have to make a mistake, it's going to be to help the other person. So like you have a tzedakah account sometimes, people have a Maisa account, a tzedakah account, put the money in the bank. Just say, listen, in my business life, I am going to spend more money, it's going to cost me more money, because I don't want to create a Chilul Hashem. And so if you have a business dealing with somebody else, make it crystal clear what it is, put it in writing if that's what it is, but whatever it is, you know, I'm not saying you have to give in. You don't have to just, if someone's trying to take advantage of you, it doesn't mean you have to say, okay, you know, because I'm a from Jew, okay, I'll give it. But if it's a question, you know, sometimes, I mean, and also go out of your way sometimes to, you know, to help people. I mean, it doesn't always have to be by the book. I mean, a woman who worked for me, she was married and her husband was very sick and she had kids. And I know she needed time off, so I gave her the time off. I could look at my manual, my employer manual, and say, I'm sorry, the book only says you're only allowed. But that's not the way you treat people also. You know, you just treat them a certain way and they never forget it. They ever, never, ever, ever forget it, you know? I mean, not just giving good advice, I mean, saving money. I mean, I happened to just see, I told my wife the other day, I saw an interview with one of the great Gedolim of all time, Shaq O'Neal, okay? He is one of the Gedolim, right? I gotta say that, right? And they were talking about saving money and how all these athletes always lose money, you know, by the time they finish, they're broke. And he said, no, I saved my money. And he says, there's a man who taught me a lesson, you know, he took a dollar and he ripped it in half. He says, when you get a dollar, take half of it, put it in the bank. The other half, you can spend, do whatever you want. And the guy says, really? He says, yeah. He says, and I want to thank my friend, Chaim Goldberg. Chaim, shalom, he says to him. You know, he was on a program. Center stage with Michael Kay. You know, he does his, you know, and in the middle of the program, he says, oh, yes, Chaim, shalom, thank you so much. Okay, you know what? That's the point. The point is that, you know, you can do it. But you know what? I just think it's important that sometimes you have to realize that it's going to cost you a little bit of money. Count it as your tzedakah. If you have an argument with somebody, you know what? If it's a question, give in to them and say, okay, you know what? It's good. And treat people correctly. Treat people correctly. And you know what? It goes a long, long way. It goes a long way. Yeah?
Hey, my name is Raymond Cohen. How is the OU able to develop the trustworthiness and the integrity to become the sort of umbrella brand or form of kashrut in America? And how come in Israel, the kashrut is more all over the place?
Okay, that's a great question. Look, first of all, let me just put it. The OU is a not-for-profit organization. The money that we make from the kashrut goes back to the Jewish community. It goes to NCSY, it goes to Yachad, it goes to all kind of other programs and so on. So our motivation is totally different. But most importantly, we have a checks and balances system. We have rabbinic coordinators, and then on top of them, we have other rabbis, and we have the RCA who's involved in it. We have a checks and balances system to make sure everything is done yosher, as far as the kashrus and as far as the money, and however else it works. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a very complicated. Eretz Yisrael is a complicated place, kashrus wise. I mean, you know, it's very hard, and it's a different system altogether. So, I mean, we've done some things here in Eretz Yisrael. It's not so easy to do it in Eretz Yisrael, but. You know, listen, halavai, they get to the point where everyone's going to trust everybody here also. I mean, that's what it is, you know. I mean, I don't like it when people say sometimes, you know, yeah, the rabbi, you know, you give the rabbi money and, you know, you know how it is, you know. You give the rabbi a few dollars, you know. I was a chairman of when the community we lived in. Anybody here live in the Five Towns, by the way? You do? Okay, so in the Five Towns they have a... If you go to any of the stores, there's a little sticker. It's called the Vatakashas of the Five Towns in Far Rockaway. You ever see that? Okay, so I had the great honor of being the chairman of that for 10 years. And I made it clear to the Mashgichim in the Five Towns. I said, I never want you to take a drink in the store. I never want you to take anything in the store, because otherwise you lose the integrity. There's no integrity. If you're a storekeeper and the Mashiach is willing to come in and you can give him, you know, like, you know, you go to these places, you used to go to these Dunkin' Donuts and they're always great. You know, no one ever robs them because the policemen are always there getting their free coffee and cake and everything else. You know what? It's not right. A Mashiach in a place has to say that. We had at the OU the same thing. Where some of the Mashkichim used to tell me, oh yeah, you know, they give me something. I said, no. You know what you tell somebody? I love your product so much, and when I go home, my wife always buys it. That's what you have to do. So, that you know, that's part of it. Listen, I how much time do we have? Another 2 minutes? I'll take one or two more questions, then, you know, we'll go. Yeah.
What do you think about people who take off the yarmulke and prevent a chil Hashem? Or people who go to work and take off the kippah?
Well, look. If they're doing it because they're afraid of a chil Hashem, it's one thing. I mean, look, if people wear a yarmulke, they should wear a yarmulke all the time. That's the whole idea. I mean, you know, you look, if you're taking off a yarmulke because you're afraid because the place is whatever it is, but otherwise, you should keep a yarmulke on and you should try to just act the way you have to act. And by the way, I mean, if you think that people don't know you're Jewish because you don't wear a yarmulke, you're absolutely mistaken, okay? Because they know very, very well, okay? I go to communities where people, they don't have the least bit of religion, but everybody knows that that's a Jewish, you know, you'll drive in a taxi cab, I go in a taxi cab, I'm driving in, Cincinnati, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm wearing my kippah, and the guy, the taxi driver said, oh yeah, by the way, there's a Jewish area right here. How does he know? Because he knows, people always know, you know? We're different, the way we are, the way we talk, the way we laugh. Who knows what it is, you know? I mean, I met a guy one time. I met a guy who became a Baal Tshuva. I asked him, how did you become a Baal Tshuva? What happened? He says, well, I lived in Montana. Okay. He said, and I went to the movies one time, and it was a Woody Allen movie. And I realized I was the only person laughing in the whole theater. He said, wait a second, there's something wrong with me. How come I'm the only person laughing at all these jokes? And then he started to find out. He looked into the fact that he was Jewish, and next thing you know, he started learning. It was unbelievable. It was amazing. But that's what happened because of that. So, you know, you're not going to hide it, believe me, you know. And also, you're not hiding it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's for sure. Act the right way and wear the yarmulke and feel good about it. That's all. You know, listen, I want to tell you, you don't know how good you feel about it. My wife could tell you. When we go on a plane sometimes, it's really unbelievable. By the time we leave the plane, people are like, oh, Rabbi, thank you so much. I thank you for everything you did for me, whatever. Oh, let me help you with the bag. Let me help you with this. And you feel great. You feel great about it. You really, really do. And you talk nicely to somebody. I mean, you know, like I see somebody looking. I'm on a plane. I see a person. I don't know. They're looking somebody. I know right away they're looking for a cup. I go in the back. I ask the flight attendant, could you give me a cup? I give the lady. I say, by the way, here's a cup. Oh, thank you, Jew. Oh, my God. That's great. All right, let's take one more question. Then. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, you have one more. Okay, quick. You asked the question already. Right? Wait a second, what's going on over here?
Is there a quota?
Yeah, there is. Okay, again.
That's a question. In terms of what should a person like? Oftentimes you can get demoralized because there's like a lot of anti-Semitism. How are we supposed to
Listen, anti-Semitism is there. It will be there forever. We just spent 10 days on conferences talking about, boycott, divestiture, all about Israel, talking about anti-Zion, which is anti-Tzioni, which is basically anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, yeah, you know, Esav Sonez Yaakov. It's a halacha. The Torah talks about it. But you know what? We don't have to give him more reason to do it. Sometimes we give him more reason to not like us. But you know what? Act the right way. Don't worry about anti-Semitism. It's going to be there, unfortunately, forever and ever until the Mashiach comes. But, you know, as long as we act the right way, we don't have to worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful Adar, okay? Okay.
One more question. Don't you think it's a little bit out of control when you're starting to put kashrus into places that are not so applicable for Jewish life, like a baseball stadium, like a major